So we begin as we did last week with the COVID-19 situation in Australia after a dire week for the state of Victoria in particular. Fewer new cases reported yesterday, though, as Paul said on the news, 397. Our Australian correspondent Rebecca Holt is in Melbourne. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Jim.
The latest numbers out of Victoria, what, a sigh of relief or not yet?
I think it's too early to call it a sigh of relief. It's less. Yeah. That's all you can say right now.
And Victorians are still bracing for a New Zealand-style lockdown. Is that still on the cards?
We should know whether that's on the cards probably by Monday. The Premier on Friday said experts are working over the weekend to analyse infection data from the first half of Victoria's latest six-week lockdown. But there's still discernible reluctance towards that from federal and state.
Vocabulary, Rebecca.
Yes, just on Saturday's press conference, Premier Andrews described 49 mystery cases. And what that means is those are cases which simply cannot be traced. And that's hugely concerning. We haven't got any more information yet about how they're going to investigate those any further, but that was something new on Saturday that they've started talking about. The rising number of Sydney cases prompted the Queensland Premier to ban entry to all Greater Sydney residents from yesterday. So there's a huge rush of people from New South Wales to get over that border on Friday.
With Queensland closing its borders to all of Sydney now, where does that leave communities near the border, you know, with people used to coming and going?
The Tweed Shire Council Deputy Mayor, a woman called Chris Cherry, has been fronting the media this week about that. And she pointed out Coolangatta and Tweed Heads are twin towns. They're intertwined, even if they're separated by the border. And for a lot of people, they go across the border and to school in Queensland, even if they live technically in New South Wales. Every time Queensland make a change to their border restrictions, there's a big problem.
Melbourne University epidemiologist Professor Tony Blakely is scathing regarding the numbers of people with the virus in aged care, quote, the utter incompetence of the aged care sector is astounding, he says. Staff working across different sites not trained properly in infection control. But this is not rocket science, really, is it, Rebecca? And one inference is that people working, making deliveries to the aged, I don't know how it's happening, you know, just aren't being careful enough about who they're getting paid to look after to take enough care about it all.
The situation's just getting worse, actually. This week's been awful. The scenes out of the aged care sector in Victoria, I think it'll require a royal commission of its own. On Friday, there were 928 active cases and 61 deaths linked to aged care facilities in Victoria. More than half of Victoria's total fatalities from COVID are aged care residents. In Victoria, the outbreaks in aged care are much worse in the private sector, and it is being said that that comes down to a sector widely reliant on lowly paid workers who are on casual contracts, and they struggle to take days off for illness in case they lose their income or feel compelled to work several jobs to make ends meet. It's only in the last week workers were banned from working across multiple centres to decrease the risk, and that was too late. We've got AusMat teams in those centres now, and they normally attend international disasters, and they're working in the homes now.
There's always a gap, isn't there, between the theory and the practice, and I see also a lot of people supposed to be in self-isolating quarantine. One in four of them door-knocked, weren't home. I saw that headline as well. Top bureaucrats warned a year ago that Victoria's key public health team was starved of money and staff. This is the same old sad story you hear around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it does seem to come down to funding and not enough money. There was a report on Friday that said the Victorian health officer, Brett Sutton's team, was so poorly funded that the bureaucrats warned Andrew's government multiple times that the state's public health unit was by far the worst resourced in the country. That was before the pandemic. The Department of Health and Human Services still own 14, that's 1-4, contact tracers hold in March.
Rebecca Holt in Melbourne. Last question. What happens with sport now? All those carefully laid plans to keep the NRL season on track, for example.
Yes, so there was a big surge of to get players out of Victoria especially and into these hubs up in Queensland. Some players' families have breached or broken quarantine rules in the Queensland hubs. It's expected there will be a punishment for those breaches, but they have been negotiated down from the $50,000 fine initially considered by the AFL. And the league can reportedly only punish the clubs, not the actual families. It's a detail I found interesting. The partners, the girlfriends and the wives and families and children who entered Queensland received strong advice from the government and AFL on restrictions on movement and activities. And we were told that they are actually all given what was described as a family handbook, which was issued to the families. And apparently it was very clearly outlined what you could and can't do in the AFL hubs. And it was all printed in bold lettering with a big slash across the photos of theme parks and restaurants. And I'd like to note that's probably more information than I've received in hard copy on the ground here in Melbourne. I've only had one piece of snail mail come through the letterbox.
So some of them just didn't do enough reading. Look, commiserations on the situation you've got there, Rebecca, but thank you for your report on it.
Thank you, Jim.